We're going to read, and we're going to have it up there. Forgive me for imposing the New Living Translation on you. I don't generally use it, but I'm reading through the scriptures this year. I did it last year, and I was in the Christian Standard Bible last year, and this year I thought, well, I'll try the New Living Translation. And so it's just interesting to do that at the moment. You'll have it up on there. But I noticed that it might have been slightly updated since my copy here. So I'll read it to you. Yes. Let's just turn that round that way slightly. And there. Then James and John, and this is from Mark chapter 10, verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favour." "What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honour next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." And Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Go on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Isn't that a lovely story? Wonderful story. It makes a nice contrast to that first part, where those two disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus, were actually wanting, you know, most. Actually, it's interesting, of course, that in Matthew's account of that same incident, it has their mother. Appropriate on Mother's Day, isn't it? Their mother coming to ask them. It says that she came and she knelt down before Jesus and asked very sort of, diligently about her sons being able to have this place. And, it says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favour. Well, James and John were fishermen. Very successful fishermen, I think. But they wanted greatness with their teacher. They wanted to be either side of him. When he came into his glory, they didn't understand what they were asking. And yet they thought they did, didn't they? But they didn't. But you know, where Jesus asks them, well, what do you want me to do? In the NIV, I think it translates it, that Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And then at verse 51, the same question is asked. In verse 51, where there is this blind man, Bartimaeus, comes up, and Jesus says the same question, what do you want me to do for you? Do you know, there's a sense in which I believe when we come to God, whether we're coming very seriously, whether we're coming urgently, desperately, or whether we're coming rather on the edge, it's as if Jesus is saying to you, now, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? There was a contrast here, wasn't there? These wanted glory at the time. I mean, things changed. If you remember James and John in another place, Jesus refers to them by a nickname of sons of thunder, Boanerges, probably because they were a bit sort of like that, you know, up and down. But what a difference we can see when they came to write their letters later in the Bible there. But yes, the thing was, Bartimaeus was a beggar. A beggar. Got some bees, B for Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was a beggar. In the United Kingdom here, I read this, begging is the solicitation of money or food, especially in the street. There is a close relationship between begging and homelessness. Homeless charity crisis estimates that over 80% of beggars are homeless. And people who beg are among the most vulnerable in society, often trapped in poverty and deprivation, and it's regarded as a risky and demeaning activity. Yeah. We do still get them around, don't we? I can't imagine you have beggars out here in Brunswick. We get the odd one or two in Horsham from time to time, but mostly in London, in big places like that. And sometimes, of course, they're fake. They're not real, and that's the trouble is, they don't do any good for the, if you like, the name of beggars when they are fake ones, because people don't want to help them. It's a lovely opportunity, actually, just to share a word with them. We try to do that. I was very impressed by, well, Sandra actually would say this, she was very impressed by her daughter-in-law, Zoe, when she was out somewhere, and there was this one sitting there by the road and sort of obviously wanting something. And she stopped and spoke to him and got him food and something and shared the gospel. And that's the one opportunity we do have. But in those days, for Bartimaeus, there were many beggars around. They were in such a state, weren't they? Many beggars, no social security, no hope other than to eke out a living if they could, with perhaps anything that was given to them, and no future. You know, it's a thing to say that actually, naturally, spiritually speaking, we are all beggars. We have nothing to make us right with God. We have nothing of ourselves to give God the, you know, the token, if you like, that we can go to heaven. It's not true how we are. We are beggars in that situation. Nothing to make us right with God. Ephesians 2:12, without hope and without God in the world. It's a terrible thing, terrible state to be in. And really, we were all like that if we had come to Christ, before we found him. But of course, Bartholomew had a worse problem. It was the fact, another B, that he was a blind beggar. A blind beggar. His great longing, though, wasn't to have a great position of power. He didn't want great things for himself. He just wanted to see. Just wanted to see. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with sight, but we have to have our glasses, you know, increase and so on. And we lost a dear sister. Well, she was cousin by marriage, who passed away last year, who had macula and had had it for many years, and it got worse and worse until she was virtually blind. The wonderful thing, of course, that spiritually she'd see wonderfully. But here was this poor beggar. He wanted to see. But as often is so with people who are blind, they have acute hearing. And I think the Bartimaeus had acute hearing. And of course the thing is that God, we can deduce from this, God had been working in his heart and mind. You might say, I mean, imagine Jericho. Well, it was as they went out of Jericho, probably. We won't go into all the business about the two Jerichos and so on, but they were going out of Jericho. It would be a dusty old road. They were coming out there. There was Jesus walking on with his disciples, and a whole crowd were following. And here was this man sitting here begging. He'd be asking for money, perhaps, asking for food, and people would perhaps drop something by him. But he had hearing, and he could hear there was something different this time. It was something different that was happening. He could hear a voice, perhaps, that was different. And somehow, and we can't explain it, but then you see, we can't explain how God works in our hearts. We can't explain that, but he does. And God had been working in his heart and mind. Because when he heard mention of Jesus, he knew that Jesus would be the answer. He would be the answer. Nobody else could help him. They would just give him things and dismiss him. You see, Bartimaeus had become a believer. There's another B. He was a beggar, he was blind, but he'd become a believer. And note how he calls out there, we've read in verse 47, he said, a blind man was there, sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David! Son of David? Have mercy on me. Son of David? Beggars don't go shouting things like that, surely. Son of David? Well, that was very important. Looking in a commentary, it says the title Son of David forms the hinge of this episode. Without it, the request is just a generic plea. But with it, Bartimaeus identifies Jesus as Israel's long-awaited royal Messiah. This verse tells us about a significant moment where Bartimaeus, a blind man, learns that Jesus is nearby, and he feels that glimmer of hope and recognizes the opportunity for healing. And his response is immediate. He starts crying out to Jesus, calling him by a title that signifies faith and recognition of Jesus' messianic identity. He doesn't just shout anything. He doesn't shout out, help, you know, whatever that. He acknowledges Jesus as the Son of David, which refers, of course, to the line of King David of years before, centuries before, and it signifies Jesus as the promised Messiah, also who would bring salvation and healing. The other people, what were they doing as they were following along there? They didn't seem to realize that. They were fascinated, but they didn't know who that was. Whereas this blind man, who couldn't go around and listen and follow Jesus, that he was just sitting there begging, but somehow God worked in his heart. Has God worked in your heart? Has he come to speak to you? Have you really heard him calling you to himself? In your inwardly, in your hearts. That's the Lord at work. It's by his Holy Spirit that he works in our hearts. It's not just a decision we take. We sometimes talk about making a decision for Christ. But in actual fact, it's because the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts to bring them to that. I mean, in those times, in our time, we may grapple with feelings of helplessness or despair. And yet, you know, this verse encourages us that even in our most vulnerable moments, reaching out for help is a powerful response. Bartimaeus' cry for mercy shows his recognition of his need and his faith. We all need to come to a point where we realize our need. People can be too full of themselves and think they can do it, they can sort it out. And well, okay, we'll give something to God, we'll, you know, worship him or at times, but they don't really know him because they won't admit their need. We are all fallen sinners. We are all blind with sin. We are all beggars. And we need the Lord Jesus himself. It's great if we've got that. I hope you have. Think of that crowd following Jesus. I've got three F's for them. They were following, all right, it says, and this crowd were following Jesus. They were sort of listening in. They were fascinated by him. That's the other F, fascinated. They couldn't help but want to follow. They wanted to hear more. I mean, there are many people today who perhaps hold forth and things. I don't feel inclined to want to go and hear them particularly. If you're a Christian, it's nice to hear a good preacher and so on. Last year we were up at Keswick for about a week and at the convention, and it was good to hear speakers there. But so often people are holding forth in places and you're not interested. Why should these people be so interested in Jesus? True, he had healed. True, he had some fascinating teaching. They were being, I believe, convicted in their hearts, but we don't get any impression that they responded more than that. They were just following him. They were fascinated. But then the way they dealt with this poor man who'd been sitting there and who was shouting out, he wanted to be noticed not by the people but by Jesus. And they say, be quiet, shut up, you know. Oh, shut up, be quiet. And then when Jesus did call him, they said, oh, cheer up, come on, he's calling you, that's right. Talk about, that was flippancy. They were flippant. And you know, people are flippant about the Bible and about God's word and about Christians, about things. It's the way the devil works in the world, in people's lives, causing them to feel that way. But had they any thought for Bartholomew, really? They'd perhaps given him a coin or two, a little bread perhaps to this blind beggar, but we don't get the impression that they recognized Jesus for who he was. Not like Bartimaeus did. I know we could wish, and you here could pray, that more would, as it were, as we say, darken the door of this church. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if there were more brought in here. But people aren't interested. As I stand here, I've noticed this before, when I'm speaking, you can see the outline of people walking past. They seem to pause, but then they go on their way. They're not interested. But we could pray that. People are needing to know Jesus for who he really is. For who he really is. May the Lord answer your prayers for that. But often, even today, there are folk attending church. Apparently, you could say following Jesus in that sense. They go to church even today. Yet they don't recognize just who he is and how much they need him. Oh, they so need him. We all need him. Yeah. And so at the beginning of the beginning of this incident, as we've read about the crowd were following in verse 46. And at the end, though, apart from Jesus' disciples, it was just Bartimaeus following him down the road on his way. I know Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and it was going to be a rocky road up to Jerusalem, so he wouldn't have gone all the way, but he was following him at that point. But the crowd seemed to have petered out. Oh, well, you know, it fade out, as far as we can see. But what a change in the crowd's reaction then when Jesus called for him to come. Cheer up. Come on, he's calling you. Oh, flippancy. Then note the urgency in Bartholomew's... why do I say Bartholomew? I'm good at getting names mixed up. I do apologise. Bartimaeus' response. In verse 59 there, you see, no, it's not 59, is it? Verse 50. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. There was no doubt in his mind. And he wasn't without strength. We don't know how old he was. We tend to think of him as old, you know, but he might not have been. No thought of keeping his place just tucked down there, sort of by the road there, no. He jumps up, throws his cloak aside, he says, and he runs to Jesus, doesn't it? He threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus, just like that. He wouldn't have felt he could have done before, because the people were saying, no, shut up. They'd have said, yes, stay out of the way there, keep out of the way. But now he was able to come to him. He wanted to get to Jesus, this son of David, his Messiah. And it's amazing, all these other people who viewed Jesus as just a teacher or a miracle worker perhaps, but not the promised Messiah. Bartimaeus had no doubt. I wonder how desperate are we to get to Jesus. I know when we are in a relationship with him, as John mentioned in our prayer just now, we have a relationship with him. But we desperately want to be with him, don't we? We want to hear him and to serve him. That's why we want to, if we possibly can, come along to church here or to a place where we're hearing God's word and we're worshipping together. It's good for us to do that. Desperate. Nothing would satisfy him now that he knew who Jesus really was. He didn't just cry for alms, as beggars tended to. He cried for mercy from his Messiah. Isn't that significant? Son of David, have mercy on me. I think that was more than just mercy in giving him his sight. I think it was mercy on him because he realized he was the Savior. He was the Lord. Wonderful. And Jesus, lovely question. What do you want me to do for you? Oh, what a contrast again to that question being given to James and John and their mum. So here was another B. Here was Bartimaeus beseeching the Lord, beseeching Jesus for his sight. Not for glory, not to sit either side of him and so on. No, just to see. And Jesus' simple answer was, go your way. Your faith has healed you, or has made you well, or has made you whole, as the old scripture, the old translation put it. Wonderful. The blind beggar who'd believed and beseeched his Lord received a great blessing. There's a hymn, not singing it today, but a verse of it was, Lord, I was blind. I could not see in your marred visage any grace, but now the beauty of your face in radiant vision dawns on me. Have we all had that? Have we all come to know him like that? And one other little point here as I finish. Who was the first face that he saw when he first could see? Surely it was Jesus. As suddenly he could see, there was the man who'd done it, Jesus. God, that's wonderful. Another hymn says, we shall see his lovely face some bright golden morning when the clouds have rifted and the shades have flown. Sorrow will be turned to joy, heartaches gone to forever. No more night, only light when we see his face. And in 1 John 3, 2, John wrote, this same John, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, there was an old song, I always remember this, I don't know what it was an old sort of American hillbilly gospel type song, about seeing Mother again. I can't remember, it was an awful thing, I remember hearing it played on a record or something. And the last line of each one was, and I want to see Mother again. And this kept coming back, I want to see Mother again. Well, yes, I hope to see my mum. I'm going to see my mum, I'm sure, one day in glory. And others too. But the best thing and the most wonderful thing is that we shall see Jesus. Do you look forward to that? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Or in the King James, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We shall see Jesus. Do you look forward to that? I think that's going to be the most wonderful thing. Just as for Bartimaeus, the first person he saw was Jesus' face, will it be that when you leave this earth,
the first one you'll see is Jesus. Wonderful thought. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning and help us that we may be desperate, in a sense, to go to him and immediately follow him. Amen. Onward we go, faithful, bold and true, called his will to do day by day, till at the last with joy we'll see Jesus in glorious majesty, live with him through eternity, reigning Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one we will see. I really believe the first face we will see will be your lovely face. And we thank you that we have the glory of heaven to enjoy with you. Yes, with those of our dear loved ones who have put their trust in you and are now there already. But most of all, to see you. Lord, we pray your blessing upon us as we go into another week. Lord, you know all the things that we may face, maybe problems, maybe dangers, maybe excitements, maybe just day-to-day living. Perhaps might get a little monotonous at times. But Lord, help us always to remember that in every moment of the day and night, you are here with us, even if we can't literally see you at this time. So Lord, bless us now, we pray, and thank you for all that you have done. We commit ourselves to you, asking the blessing in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen.